All right, so we're diving into this this article about UK public procurement that you sent over. Verbal alchemy, is that right?
That's the one.
Not exactly a catchy title, is it? But you know what? The system we're about to unpack, it's way more interesting than it sounds. And honestly, kind of frustrating too.
Yeah, it's one of those things you'd think, like strict rules around government contracts would make everything super fair, right?
Right.
But it's actually kind of backfired.
Yeah, that's exactly what the article argues. It's saying that these regulations, a lot of them coming from the EU, they've actually ended up giving an advantage to these huge corporations.
Right.
They even call it a Sarko state, which I guess means a handful of big companies are really calling the shots.
Yeah, exactly. And all these smaller businesses, especially the local ones, they're struggling to even compete.
Yeah.
Because just the cost of keeping up with all these regulations, it's like a huge barrier.
Oh, I bet.
It's like trying to, jump into a marathon when you've never even run a 5K,
Totally. And fewer companies bidding on these contracts, that's not real competition, is it?
It's the opposite. It ends up creating what they call an oligopoly. That's where, like, just a tiny group of companies, they control the whole market. And then a lot of times what happens is these big companies, they win the contract and then they just subcontract the actual workout to, whoever's offering the cheapest price. And that can mean the quality of the service, it just tanks.
Literally. But you know what really got me about this article? This whole cronyism angle.
Right.
It hints at this whole other side of it, this less than transparent underbelly.
It's interesting. Verbal alchemy kind of just touches on it, but you've got other publications, Private Eye, for example. They've done some really in-depth pieces on this, alleging all sorts of shady dealings going on, sweetheart deals, political favors, all that influencing who actually gets awarded these, let's face it, lucrative government contracts.
So it's not even just about like following the rules then, it's about who's pals with who.
It seems that way, yeah.
Which just it undermines this whole idea of public procurement, doesn't it? The whole point of it.
Yeah, and we have to remember, it's not just about paperwork and contracts at the end of the day.
Right.
We're talking about taxpayer money here, right? Making sure people get good public services. If you've got cronyism seeping in, competition gets stifled, there's no incentive to innovate, and who loses out? It's the public. They pay the price.
That's what I think people forget sometimes, when we're in the weeds of regulations and economics and all that. We're talking about schools, hospitals, public transport, the things that affect us every single day.
Exactly. These are the services we all rely on, and it's a matter of how well they're delivered, how ethically they're delivered.
And speaking of ethics, they touch on this briefly in the article, the UK's obligations under the World Trade Organization. They have that agreement, the GPA, I think it's called, Government Procurement Agreement. And it sounds like that just adds this whole other layer of complexity, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The GPA. Yeah, on paper, it's meant to make trade between countries fairer,
Right.
but it can create some, oh, well, some tension, you could say.
How so?
Well, it's trying to prevent countries from being protectionist, trying to level that global playing field. But sometimes it can make a country overly reliant on foreign companies, even when, maybe a local option would be a better fit.
So you're saying sometimes these big global agreements, even if they're, coming from a good place, they might actually work against like local communities and businesses.
Yeah, it's the classic law of unintended consequences. And the article, it does bring up some valid concerns, like how transparent is it really? How accountable are these overseas firms? Especially when we're talking about essential public services,
Right.
places where you really need that local expertise, that local oversight. I mean, it's one thing if you're buying office supplies from another country, but we're talking healthcare infrastructure, the stakes are way higher.
Yeah, it makes you wonder then who really benefits the most from these types of agreements. It's complicated. I see why it resonated with you. So, want to dig into some potential solutions. What could be done differently?
Yeah, for sure. Verbal alchemy actually talks about this growing movement. It's about bringing some of these essential services back under, government control.
Okay.
Sort of like bringing it back home, localizing it.
Interesting. Okay, so unpack that for me. What's the logic there? Why bring those services back in-house?
Well, proponents of this, they argue that by managing those services themselves, local authorities, they'd have way more control over the quality. They could set higher standards.
Okay.
And they become directly accountable to the communities they're serving, which isn't always the case right now.
Makes sense. So instead of outsourcing to these massive corporations, it's about giving local governments the power back, right? Like taking back control of the supply chain in a way.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. And imagine if you gave local businesses those small to medium enterprises, if you gave them a real shot at winning some of these government contracts,
yeah,
it could be a win-win for everyone. You boost the local economies, you encourage more innovation, and you have services that are being provided by people who are actually invested in that community and its success.
That is a much more optimistic picture than where we started, I'll tell you that. So it seems like there are alternatives out there, ways to approach public procurement that could lead to better outcomes, for everyone involved.
Absolutely. And I think it starts with really taking a hard look at the systems we already have, the ones we kind of inherited. Ask ourselves, are they really doing what they're supposed to be doing? Are they helping the public? Are they promoting fairness, good value? Or are they just causing more problems?
And that's where you, dear listener, come in. Because this isn't just about understanding how complicated the system is. It's about asking yourself, if you could start from scratch, if you could hit the reset button on public procurement, what would you change? What needs to happen for the system to truly serve the people it's meant to serve?
These are the tough questions, but we need to be asking them if we actually want to see things change. Verbal alchemy. It really shines a light on how this system often seems like it's designed to just help a select few, and everyone else is kind of left behind.
It's a good reminder that we don't have to just accept things the way they are. We can demand better. We can demand more transparency, more accountability, and a system that actually puts the needs of communities ahead of, corporate interests.
100%. But change, it can't happen without understanding.
Right.
So let's dig a little deeper into this idea of localization, shall we? Let's look at what it could offer, what some of the challenges might be.
This whole idea of bringing services back under local control, it makes me think of that buy local movement, but just on a way bigger scale. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the principle is the same, right? It's about recognizing that local knowledge matters, that local accountability matters, and keeping things closer to home. Well, that has economic benefits too, right? When you've got a community and their essential services are actually being delivered by people who are invested in that community, it makes sense that they'd be more responsive to, what people need, what works.
Yeah, no, it makes sense intuitively. But I guess what about actually making it happen? Because isn't running, bringing services in-house, doesn't that come with a whole other set of challenges? Because, local government, it's not exactly known for being super efficient or anything.
Right. I hear that. And it's true. No system's going to be perfect, right? There'll always be challenges, bumps in the road. But the article does point to, some good examples where local governments, they have successfully taken over services that were being outsourced. And they've actually managed to both cut costs and make the service better at the same time.
Oh, really? Any specific examples that come to mind? I always like hearing about how this stuff actually plays out in the real world.
Yeah, sure. They talk about this one case study, this local council in England. They decided to take back control of their waste management.
Oh, yeah.
It's being run by a private contractor, big one. And not only did the council, save money, but get this, recycling rates went up and residents were happier. So, it does kind of show you that sometimes having that more direct connection, being able to adapt things to what the local area actually needs, that could be more valuable than just going with, the big company, the idea that they're more efficient.
That's a good example. So it seems like this localization thing, it could be a good option in some cases, but I guess it's not a magic solution, right? It's not one size fits all.
Yeah, definitely not. It's all about looking at each situation as it is.
Yeah.
What's the service? What's the local context? What are the pluses and minuses of each approach. You got to weigh it all out.
Be strategic about it, basically. Yeah. So it's interesting, right? We've gone from these really dense regulations to this idea of empowering local communities. It just shows you how all this stuff is connected. So we've talked about, the downsides of how things are now, but what about the potential upsides of localization? Aside from maybe saving money, improving services, what else could it offer?
Well, I think for local economies, it could be huge. Imagine if local businesses, local entrepreneurs, they had a real chance to get these government contracts.
Yeah.
That's more jobs for local people. That's more money staying in the community. It's a stronger sense of, ownership, local pride.
It's that whole rising tide lifts all boats thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Instead of all that money, those taxpayer dollars going to these giant companies, the multinationals, this localized approach, it could actually help build stronger, more resilient local economies.
Yeah.
And don't forget about innovation.
Right.
When you bring smaller companies to the table, companies that can move faster, they bring new ideas.
Yeah.
Right? New ways of doing things. They challenge the way things have always been done. They're not stuck in that, you know, bureaucracy, that kind of like, this is how we've always done it mentality.
Yeah.
That can really stifle innovation in, you know, those bigger organizations.
It's not just about like shifting contracts from big to small then. It's about tapping into a different kind of energy, you know, a different way of thinking. It makes you wonder, why isn't this like way more common?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, there are definitely people who benefit from the system as it is, right? And change is hard, especially with something this complex. But I do think the more people who get this, who understand what's at stake and start saying, hey, we want something different, the better chance we have of actually making it happen, making it stick.
Knowledge is power, right? And that's what we're all about here on this deep dive, right? Giving you the information you need, the insights, so you can be part of these conversations, these important conversations.
100%. It's about empowering people to be able to look at these systems that affect their lives, these big systems, and demand better from the people in charge.
Speaking of demanding better, they talk a bit in this article about transparency and accountability.
Yeah.
Like, how can we make sure those values are really front and center with public procurement, whether it's outsourced or in-house? Because let's face it, that cronyism thing, that can happen anywhere if you don't have the right safeguards.
Oh, for sure. Transparency, accountability, those are key no matter what model we're talking about. And I think that means making all the info about these government contracts, who's bidding, what things cost, where the money's going, all of it. It should be easy for people to find.
Right.
And there's got to be a system in place, a strong system for if something seems off, if there's, you know, an allegation, conflict of interest, whatever, you have to be able to investigate it properly.
Yeah, that seems, I mean, shouldn't that be obvious? Transparency, accountability, those are the basics, right? When you're talking about public money.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
But often it's more like we hope for it, but does it really happen?
Yeah.
And part of it is public procurement. It can be so complicated, so hard to follow, that it's easy for things to, you know, slip through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on purpose, maybe not. But that's why it's even more important for people to be saying, hey, we want more transparency here. You got to hold those elected officials accountable for how they're using taxpayer money. Make sure it's responsible. Make sure it's ethical.
So how do we do that as individuals? I mean, how do you make a difference when you're talking about a system this big?
Well, there are things you can do. First off, stay informed. What's going on in your local area? What are they saying in the council meetings? Get familiar with how procurement works where you live. And don't be afraid to, like, ask those questions, you know? Push a little.
Be an engaged citizen.
Well, exactly. Because this stuff, it's not exactly a glamorous topic, I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
But it has a huge impact on all of us. The decisions they make about how to spend, you know, public money, that affects the quality of our schools, hospitals, roads, so many things.
It's easy to forget that, you know? We're all busy, got our own lives. These big issues, they can feel overwhelming or like they don't really have anything to do with us. But like we're seeing in this deep dive, they really do.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to break these things down, make them understandable. Because ultimately, public procurement, it's not about contracts. It's not about regulations. It's about people.
Okay. So yeah, sounds like there's a lot to think about with this localization thing, right? Like, we've talked about some of the good stuff, but what about the, you know, the potential downsides? Are there any risks with this approach?
Well, I mean, anytime you make big changes, you know, system-wide changes, there are always going to be challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think one concern is whether local governments, you know, do they actually have the resources to do this, to manage certain services themselves? Like, do they have the expertise?
It's a good point. Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, you got to watch out for local biases, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure those don't start creeping into, you know, who gets awarded contracts and stuff.
Yeah.
Because that would just undermine the whole, you know, the whole point of trying to make things more fair and transparent.
Right. Right. For sure. So it's not like a perfect, you know, a perfect solution, fix everything kind of thing. We got to be aware of the downsides too.
Exactly.
I mean, careful planning, right? And people really keeping an eye on things, making sure everything's transparent at every level.
100%. It's not enough to just say, okay, we're not doing it nationally, we're doing it locally, and then just wash your hands of it,
mm-hmm.
right? You got to make sure that local governments, they've got the resources, they've got the know-how, and that they're being held accountable, you know, to make sure those services are run well and ethically.
And that brings us back to you, dear listener, because you have a big part to play in all of this. Staying informed, asking questions, you know, holding those elected officials accountable. That's how we make this whole system of public procurement more just, more equitable.
Absolutely. I know this stuff. It's like not the most exciting thing in the world, right? Public procurement. But it affects all of us. Because it's about our money, taxpayer money.
That's right.
By demanding transparency, demanding accountability, by demanding that they put the public good first, we can build a system that actually works for everyone, not just a select few.
So if there's one thing you want our listeners to walk away with from this deep dive, what would it be?
I'd want them to remember that even these really complex systems, like, you know, public procurement, it all comes down to choices. Right. Choices about what matters, what our values are, who benefits, who gets left behind. When we understand these systems, how they work, and we start talking about them, you know, having real conversations, then we can start making better choices. Choices that lead to a fairer, a more just society for everybody.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And on that note, we're wrapping up another deep dive. Hopefully you found this whole exploration of UK public procurement, you know, interesting, maybe got you thinking a little. And remember, knowledge is power. The more we understand about these systems, the more power we have to change them, to make things better. So until next time, stay curious, everyone, and keep asking those tough questions.